Right now, we're joined by Blue Jay, well, let's say pitcher, Jesse Litch, because I don't know, starter or reliever. You've done both roles. Jesse, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it a lot.
No problem.
Now, you seem to take very well to the bullpen in the last couple of months of the season. Do you see yourself as a reliever, or do you still see yourself as a starting pitcher?
I mean, the relieving part of the game is still early. You know, it's early. It's a different thing for me in my career, but it's something that I felt comfortable with, something I liked. But, I mean, as of right now, you always still see yourself as a starter since that's what you've done your whole career. But, you know, I'm open to whatever they want me to do. It's a matter of just being out there and pitching. I love pitching, and however I'm going to do it, that's the main focus.
Yeah, and you certainly did a fine job of it this year. The phone lines are open. People want to talk to Jesse, and you only have to the bottom of the hour, if that, at 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell, and long distance 1-888-666-0590. So get to calling now if you want to talk to Jesse. I do want to talk about you and about your year and about the Blue Jays and stuff, but first, did you see the game last night?
Yeah, you know, I didn't actually watch the whole game. I watched a little bit here and there, and then I missed the ending, but I watched SportsCenter, and it showed some crazy highlights, and that's playoff baseball right there. That's World Series baseball that, you know, that people have always dreamed of, and you know, to see guys out there that, you know, you play with throughout the year, even this year, it was cool to see them out there and celebrating after the win, for sure.
That was an amazing thing, and you know, we've never seen a World Series game before in which a team has scored in each of the 8th, 9th, 10th, and 11th innings. And we've never seen a World Series game before in which a team was trailing more than once in the 9th inning or later and came back to win. There's only been one other World Series game in history in which a guy hit a home run in extra innings and his team did not win, and that was Josh Hamilton yesterday. This might have been the craziest game of all time.
Yeah, I mean, it very well much could have been. You know, it's a game of luck. It's a game of, you know, of things that happen. You never know what's going to happen in this game, and that's why you fight to the end, and you know, you're down to one strike, and they come back and win. That's a matter of just going out there and playing the game the whole nine innings, and in that case, 11 innings.
Yeah, and it's some of the people that are still talking about it. We're with Jesse Litch here, and do you have a rooting interest in this series? I mean, the Rangers are the American League team, obviously, but St. Louis has some guys that you've played with, and do you lean one way or the other?
Not necessarily. You know, you want to keep it in the American League. Obviously, that's your league. But it's a matter of, you know, go out there and watch a good game. You know, it's the guys there that we played with. It'd be awesome for them to win a World Series because, you know, that's what you always dream of. But it's one of those things where there's no, I can't take a side. You know, there's no side to be taken. It's just, you know, go out there and watch the game and see what happens.
That's the best way to go about doing it. And just root for a great game. Something like we saw last night, which was almost impossible to repeat. We have people on the phone who want to talk to Jesse Litch, and a couple of lines open as well if you want to get in there quickly at 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. We will start with John in Toronto. John, say hello to Jesse Litch.
Hello, Mr. Litch. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing well, and I have a rooting interest. I'm rooting for only St. Louis only because people in St. Louis actually care about baseball, and people in Texas only care about football. So that's why I'm going.
All right, sounds good.
The Cardinals. But I'd like to ask, I mean, he kind of answered this, so I'm going to sort of change it up a little. What is the difference in preparing to pitch as a starter as to preparing to pitch as a reliever?
I mean, out of the bullpen, you have to be ready every day. There's, you know, you're in the game all nine innings as a starter. You know, you have your 1 out of 5 days when you're pitching. You have those 4 days to kind of vamp yourself for the start. But as a bullpen guy, you got to be ready. You never know when you're going to get in. You never know what day you're going to get in. You just got to be ready and watch the game full. You know, when you're a starter, you're on the bench watching the game, and you're probably not getting in the game. You might get one pinch run here in like 10 years. Once every 10 years, but it's one of those where you got to be focused, ready to pitch at any time as a bullpen guy. And as a starter, you got that one day where you're mentally focused and ready for the game.
And would you like to go back to, like, the National League rule? You have to bat.
I mean, I came up, you know, I was a hitter in college, so obviously I want to hit. That's one thing all pitchers want to hit. But, you know, there's a guy like Markham was a perfect example. He was a hitter in college, and he always said he was going to be the best hitter in the National League, and he just did okay in the National League. But it's just one of those things where pitchers always want to hit, but, you know, they might be better off not hitting.
You're very kind, Sean Markham. I think he hit 153 this year for the Brewers. But I expected him to hit like 280 because of the way he talked about, you know, and we knew that he was a shortstop in college and stuff too. It's really tough. To work off of John's question, when you look at your numbers as a reliever, what stands out to me the most is that when coming out of the bullpen, the strikeouts go way up. And you struck out more than a batter per inning, 9.4 per nine innings as a reliever as opposed to 7 per nine as a starter. You were never a huge strikeout guy as a starter, though you had a few big strikeout games. But does something change? Do you feel like you're not pacing yourself and you can kind of let it all go for those 30 or however many pitches that you're going to throw? Does that change things as far as a strikeout rate goes?
I mean, yeah, it's definitely one of those things where you're in a game, you're not necessarily, you got to pitch 100 pitches in 7 innings. You're out there and you can let it all eat. You know, you're out there, you put everything on the line in that one inning or 2 innings, whatever it may be. I mean, I threw one game where I went 3 this year, but it's one of those where you go out there and give it all you got and be able to pitch, you know, your best pitches as opposed to having to work off certain pitches and trying to, you know, trick the hitters and do everything. But, you know, I could throw my best pitch, you know, the majority of the time and, you know, have success with it. So that's one of the, which only makes your other pitches better. So that's one thing I learned. And, you know, there's a lot of guys down there that have done it, and you learn from them, you see how they pitch, and you try to make your own little plan for a bullpen for sure.
Did you know that game that you wound up going 3 innings or 2 2/3 or whatever it was, did you know you were going to get a save in that game when it was all over? Did you know you got the save, or did someone have to tell you?
No, I actually got a text from somebody after the game to where they told me, congrats on your first save, blah, blah, blah. And I think I might have – I had the ball, luckily, still after the game because I finished the game. But it definitely did not ring. I had no clue that that was a rule until, you know, that's one of those things where you learn different things throughout the game. And it was definitely pretty cool to have one save. That's, you know, maybe the only one I ever get, but you can always say you have one.
I don't know. The way you pitched out of the pen last year might not be the only one you ever get. Back to the phones for Jesse Litch to Brantford. Steve, say hello to Jesse.
Hi, Jesse.
Hello. How you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
Good.
I'm just wondering, like, I've been a huge fan of the Jays for basically about 30 years, actually. I just wondered, truthfully, how frustrating is it to be in the same division as those two big guns? Because as fans, we always discuss it, and it's like, you get better and better. You got Laurie on the horizon, and you got Alvarez and that, and you, and you know, all these young guys. But how we're all looking at it is, we have this window with Batista, and then they don't, as of right now, the Jays just don't have enough to compete with the top guns, even Tampa. And do you feel, honestly, that you really do need to go get, like, a Pujols or somebody to have any legitimate shot within the next 5 years? Like, most fans, honestly, that's what we feel. You know, it's a positive vibe in that, but it's just, it's always, you know, just above 500 here and there. It gets frustrating. So I imagine for players, it must just drive you guys 100 times more nuts.
I mean, definitely. You know, it's playing those teams, it's the best, you know, they say it's the best division in baseball. And, you know, I would definitely agree with it because I play in the division. But, you know, when it comes down to it, there's a lot of things that could happen to the team, and there's a lot of things that, you know, are going to happen to the team. You know, that's why we have a GM. Alex is doing a great job with everything. And you know, we put all our trust in him, and he's going to go out and get the best team and put him on the field. And, you know, I don't know what's going to happen here in the next future, but, you know, I would go out on a limb and say some good stuff's about to happen. And, you know, it's going to be something that's going to be fun, not just for the fans, but for us players, you know, because, you know, every year we try to go out there and compete and win it every year. And, you know, we had a lot of eye openers this year with players that came up and young guys that, you know, came in and you know, played well, threw the ball well, and it's just little things like that that are going to click and make the team so much better.
Do you see any parallels between the Blue Jays going into 2012 and the Rays going into 2008? I mean, that was a year where Tampa Bay kind of became the sexy pick for people of teams that might surprise. But to most observers, it looked like they were still a little bit away, but they snuck up on everybody, jumped up and wound up winning the division because guys developed quicker than they thought they were going to, and they got really good pitching, and the defense was really terrific, and they were better than everyone thought, and they were already pretty good. Do you think that that's something that might be going on with the Blue Jays right now?
I mean, it's definitely a possibility. You know, it's one of those where you have your team, and you have your togetherness, and you know, it's all one big family. And you know, what we had at the end of the year was a huge, you know, a huge thing to where we all came together and we were playing, you know, the last couple of months, you know, we played ball very well. And it's a matter of just going out there and, you know, trusting your teammates, trusting yourselves and going out there and put the best team on the field. And we have confidence in Alex, Farrell, and, you know, just a matter of going out there and doing everything the right way and put together, you know, a winning season.
We're with Jesse Litch. We're taking your calls, and let's go up to Collingwood. Chris, say hello to Jesse.
Hello, Jesse.
How you doing?
Thanks for taking my call, guys. Jesse, I was thinking about the two starters today and what kind of pressure they might be going through, and Carpenter maybe a little more experienced. But I wanted to ask you, what was your most pressure-filled moment so far, and how did you deal with it during, like, prior to the game?
I mean, definitely your most pressure field is it was my debut, and you know it wasn't necessarily pressure. It was more of anxiety. It's, you know, you're anxious to get out there and nerves and everything. But it's one of those where you go out there and you got to just be able to go out and overcome your anxiety, overcome your nerves, and become a better pitcher just because of overcoming stuff. And you know, the guys tonight, you know, they got their experience. You know, I know Carpenter, he's a great guy, and he's going on 3 days rest, which is, you know, I would expect anybody to do that. That's, you know, an ace like him. And I think it's Harrison.
Yep.
for Texas. And he's going to go out there with everything. You know, that's, today's the day where you lay everything on the line.
Yeah, there's no question about that. And all kinds of help behind him as well. Tell me a little bit about your debut, because we all remember it and what a terrific game it was. It seems to me with a lot of guys that, you know, we all know that the butterflies are going like crazy, but you get up on the mound, or for a hitter, you get into the batter's box, and it seems like everyone just takes a deep breath and then that's it. They go there. They're playing baseball again, and you can never see, you know, they always say, don't let them see you sweat. And you almost never do. How do you manage to keep that inside?
I mean, you don't really keep it inside. It's tough. It's, you know, that first one is always your most memorable, your most whatever. It's the one you worked your whole life for, basically. And mine just happened to be on my dad's birthday, which made it even more better. But it's a matter of going out there and getting through the little heebie-jeebies that you have, and going out there and just pitching, knowing what you do, doing what you did in the minor leagues, and just being able to do everything the right way.
Got time for a couple more calls with Jesse Litch. John is in Mississauga. John, you're on with Jesse.
Yeah, hi, Jesse.
How you doing?
You mentioned the difference between starting and relieving is when you're starting, there isn't a whole lot to do. Can you sympathize with those guys in Boston drinking beer, eating fried chicken when they're not starting?
You know, that's nothing. That's one of those things where it's a tough thing to call, because those guys are professionals, and the fact that they came out and said it was very shocking to a lot of people. And to go out there and say that you've done it, I mean, I've heard of you know, rally beers here and there, but, you know, that's not one of the things where it's I think that's definitely something you shouldn't be. You know, that's, you got to go out there and you got to be ready for anything. You never know. You might have to pitch out of the bullpen that day. So it's one of those things where it's a tough one to call. And being a professional, it's even tougher to call when you know the people and everything.
How much do you think, though, that whole story had to do with the fact that Boston wound up losing? Because, you know, in 2004, when they won the World Series, the whole team was doing shots of wild turkey before every playoff game as kind of a rally thing. And that was all, oh, look at that. This is cool. And look how loose they are. And now, because they don't make the playoffs, it's, oh my God, the world is ending. Everything is wrong with the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely, you know, there's a lot of things that can be said for losing and winning, but the fact that they lost and they went through all that struggle at the end, it's definitely tough. It's harder for the team to be able to come overcome, you know, that drinking, whatever. But in the same sense, it's something that probably should have never been brought out to the public. They shouldn't know about it. And there's ways that, you know, the media finds out about stuff that you gotta know that there might be a possibility that it gets out there. And for them, you know, it's one of those where you just gotta. There are going to be a lot of questions about it. There's still going to be a lot of, you know, you got to answering. But, you know, now it's just move on to the next level. You know, go get ready for next year because, you know, it's over. It sucks that you didn't make it, but you just got to be able to move on from it and learn from your mistakes.
Last call for Jesse Litch. Miles is in Toronto. Miles, say hi.
Hi, I just started following baseball in the last year. But what I was interested in, you stared down and competed against some of the best players in baseball today. If you look at the Jays, third baseman, Thames, or the catcher, they obviously have a lot of power and they have a lot of potential. Do you see, when you see them in practice, anything that you feel that they could be elite hitters rather than going out and buying somebody?
I mean, yeah, they're young. You know, there's always that possibility, but when you go out and get a proven hitter that's done it for years, that's where that's where it comes into play and go and get the proven hitter. You know, you got to have the guy that's got experience. Experience comes, you know, with betterness. You know, you're going to be a lot better with experience. And, you know, the more times you face a big league hitter or a big league pitcher as a hitter, you know, you're going to get better. And, you know, those guys are young. They got half a season in. And they're going to learn that they're going to have to overcome some stuff because the pitchers are going to start learning their weaknesses. So you got to still adjust. And it's a game of adjustments. You got to be able to adjust. And it's the ones that adjust to everything are the best ones. You know, that's the ones that learn the game better, and that's the ones that will go out and compete the best and have the most. You know, they're going to go out and have the most. What's the word I'm looking for? They're gonna, success.
Absolutely. Jesse, before we let you go, I got one more question for you. And this is coming from a guy who doesn't put much stock in intangibles. I like the things that you can measure and that tell you about actual performance rather than, you know, those kinds of things that are floating around in the ether that people can attribute to great games. Like momentum. I don't think there's any such thing as momentum. And if there was, then Texas probably would have won the game last night, but after the Josh Hamilton homer. But there's an intangible aspect to your game. And I talked to Casey Jansen about this and Sean Markham as well. And it's something that's difficult to measure in that it's how good you are at fielding your position. And in my mind, when there are guys who don't put up those fantastic numbers but are still effective, you look for something else like that. And when you're on the mound, you have five infielders. Same thing with Casey Jansen. You guys are such good defensive players that you make your job as a pitcher so much easier. Tell me a little bit about that aspect of your game and how proud you are of that.
Oh, it's definitely something I take, you know, I don't take for granted because that's one thing I take pride in is my fielding. You know, that's what I did in college. I was a third baseman. And it's one of those things where you got to be able to go out there and field your position. You never know when that run is going to cost you the game, and you never know if that guy bunts, if he gets on base, and that's a winning run. You want to be able to, you know, there's guys that, you know, don't field their position very well, but they're able to hold runners better. You know, there's little things. But for me, that aspect is something I like to get any ball I can get to because I feel I'm in control. And, you know, obviously you're using your fielders, which I love doing too, because I throw, you know, I love throwing ground balls and pop fly, whatever I need to do. But anything that comes back at me, I want to feel it. I want to be able to catch it. And if I don't catch it, I get mad. That's something for me personally, that's where I kind of get upset if I make an error. You know, I try not to make errors. I made a couple in my career, but it's a matter of just taking pride in it, being able to go out there and show everyone, you know, that you have that feeling. And I hear all this about, you know, you're big for your, you know, for a pitcher, blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, it's not about that. It's about how athletic you are and how you field your position and how you do everything. And for me, that's one thing. I just, you know, those are the things you just shrug off and you go out there and do your thing and make the plays and keep pitching.
Yeah, and there's no question. I mean, you are it's you're a terrific athlete, and it's amazing to watch you field your position. I think that's a lot of fun. Before we let everybody go, before we let you go, I always try to pick out a stat from your season to fill you in on that you might not know, and this kind of speaks to your ability as a relief pitcher this year, because late and close situations in the big leagues are defined as seventh inning or later with the batting team tied up by one or with the tying run at least on deck. And even though you were only a reliever for a little bit this year, you faced 46 hitters in that late and close situation, and you held them to a .209 batting average with a .261 on base percentage. So when the chips were the most down, you were spectacular this year. Congratulations for that.
Thank you. Yeah, I definitely would have never found that stat. That's for sure.
That's what I'm here for. Jesse,
I appreciate it.